Hi, I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Marshall. Welcome to Tumble, the show where we explore stories of science discovery.
Today, we're talking about cicadas.
You mean like the really loud insects that go like, shoo?
Yes, some cicadas are actually the loudest insects on Earth, and others have the longest life cycles of any insect on Earth, and many emerge in enormous numbers. We're going to dig down into the lives of these amazing insects. Okay, I haven't ever seen a big periodical cicada emergence. Marshall, have you?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, when I was growing up, there was like a huge one and they were everywhere. And I remember like millions of them washing up on the beach.
Ugh.
It's like, you know, imagine a swimming pool just like covered completely with bugs.
I will not be swimming in that pool.
Well, you scoop them out first.
Well, we have two questions about cicadas from listeners today.
Ooh, two questions. That's amazing.
Well, let's start with Gus.
I'm Gus. I'm 8 years old. I live in Goleta, California. My question is, how did cicadas evolve to go underground for so long?
That's a good question.
Before we get to the reason why Gus thinks they might do it, let's hear our second question.
My name is Zachary. I'm 7 years old, and I live in Oakland, California. My question is, why do cicadas spend so much of their lives underground?
Wait, that's basically the same question. And they're both from California. Is there some sort of like cicada conspiracy over there?
Well, there's over 80 cicada species in California that come out every spring, so they probably see them a lot over there. I asked Gus and Zachary what they think the answers are to their questions and how scientists could find out.
Okay, so what'd they say?
Here's Gus.
I think that they evolved special legs so they could dig down there. I think scientists could figure it out by studying cicadas' anatomy.
And here's what Zachary thinks.
I think the answer is to protect from predators. I think that scientists could figure out the answers by putting a camera inside a cicada nest.
Are there cicada nests? That's terrifying. But it's interesting because Zachary and Gus have very different ideas and approaches to a pretty similar question.
Yeah, so let's ask the rest of our listeners. Why do you think cicadas spend so much of their lives underground? And how do you think scientists might find out? Think about it, and we'll be back with a cicada scientist to discover more about these magical insects. To answer Gus and Zachary's questions, I reached out to Chris Simon, who studies cicadas all over the world to discover how they evolved. And it turned out there's a lot to learn about a lot of different kinds of cicadas.
There's more than 3,000 species of cicadas in the world. They live in many, many different kinds of habitats, and they have lots of different adaptations, and they've moved around the world over time, over millions of years.
9 species of cicadas are called periodical cicadas.
Does that mean they read periodicals, like they're in that section of the library?
No.
Periodical cicadas are cicadas that come out in a synchronized way, and they all come out together.
They're coming out from a long period of growing underground. Then they'll emerge to spend a few weeks mating before laying eggs and starting the cycle all over again.
Most of them have a 2-year life cycle, sometimes 3 or even 5. Periodical cicadas are the longest. The ones in North America are only found east of the Great Plains. They have the 13 and 17-year life cycles.
Wow, so those cicadas that I grew up with have the longest life cycles.
Yeah, of any insects in the world. Their scientific name is actually Magicicada.
Like magic cicada? Do they do lots of sleight of hand? Or sleight of leg?
Well, to the scientists that named them, their behavior did seem almost magical. But now scientists have caught on to their tricks, and they catch them.
We know when they're going to come out, and we can go there, and we can get as many as we want.
Scientists have charts and maps of when and where each brood is going to come out. And Chris has her favorite she looks forward to seeing.
I started with brood 14, so that might be one of my favorites. That's coming out next year, because this year is 13 of the 17-year cicadas. All of them are great.
I like how she talks about cicada broods like they're bands that are coming into town on tour.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to something like a huge reunion this year. I'm going to say a lot of dates and numbers here, but try your best to follow me. As we record this episode, in the spring of 2024, brood 19 of the 13-year cicadas will emerge from underground at the same time as brood 13 of the 17-year cicadas for the first time since 1803.
The last time these two specific broods emerged at the same time, Thomas Jefferson was still president, and like maybe millions of bugs were flying around his head. This is a historical detail they don't mention in any books I've read.
Yeah, and there were probably like lakes that he couldn't swim in and was like sorely disappointed by.
First, we have to scoop out the million dead cicadas before I can go swimming.
Yeah, but it's actually not uncommon for two of these broods or groups of cicadas to come out at the same time.
So every year there's a different group of 17-year cicadas or 13-year cicadas, or almost every year.
Well, yeah, so growing up, I mean, there were always cicadas, but there were some summers that were bigger than others. But getting back to Gus and Zachary's questions, why do they spend so much of their lives underground? Like, why did they evolve that way when they can sing so loud in the air?
We'll dig into those questions right after this quick break.
Calling all kids in the car, Brittany and Meredith here from the chart-topping Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Are you dreading another silent car ride with the fam? We've got the cure. Three rounds of fresh trivia every single week. Movies, music, even science and Disney. We've got something for every trivia buff in the car. No more crickets chirping on those long journeys. Hooray! The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast is your secret weapon for connecting and laughing with kids of all ages. Teens, toddlers, adults, it doesn't matter. Spark their curiosity and challenge their brains with every episode. New episodes drop weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast and turn those car rides into epic adventures.
We're back. So to understand why cicadas spend so much of their lives underground, let's look at where they start. Cicada egg nests are actually high above ground.
It's in a branch. And they hatch from the branch and jump, and then they fall to the ground, and then they start digging in. And yes, they do have special digging legs.
So Gus was right. They do have special digging legs.
They do, but it doesn't quite explain why these periodical cicadas spend so much time underground.
All cicadas have special digging legs, and all cicadas live underground, as do some of their relatives, as juveniles. So juveniles live underground, the adults live above ground.
Okay, so what about Zachary's idea that they live underground to stay protected from predators?
They live underground and feed on roots, but it's not free of predators. There are a lot of predators underground.
Whoa, like what kind of predators live underground? Like underground foxes?
Cicadas end up as a menu item for several subterranean creatures.
So when the cicadas first come out underground, they're about the size of a rice grain and they're preyed upon by ants. And then as they grow older and older, they're fed on by larger organisms until they get to the last stage when they're almost an inch long. And then they're fed upon by moles underground, and the moles really chomp down on them.
Yeah, the moles really chomp down, don't they? But if the underground isn't predator-free, why do they spend so much time down there?
Well, that ties into the question of why cicadas evolved to stretch out their life cycles.
It's thought to be related to changes in climate during the ice ages when it's so cold. They had really short growing seasons, and they just evolved this really slow feeding underground, taking long time to develop.
So wait, this has to do with climate change?
Yes. So the length of the growing season has a big influence on how long periodical cicadas stay underground. The 13-year cicadas are found mostly in the warmer south, and the northern broods take longer, 4 more years to emerge.
Okay, I mean, that makes sense. So cicadas grow slowly underground, but how? It's almost like they figured out how to age less quickly. Could we do that?
That's what I want to know. So insect scientists have wanted to learn cicada secrets for a long time.
People have been digging them up underground ever since the late 1800s, early 1900s.
They eventually discovered that cicadas go through 5 stages of growth before they emerge. But scientists also found something they didn't expect.
And the really interesting thing about the North American periodical cicadas in the genus Magiscata is that even though they all come out on the same night, they're growing at all different rates underground. Some grow faster than others.
Huh, that's incredible. So they've got the same start date and end date, but some kind of fall behind and some start racing ahead, but they all catch up. So why?
Well, there could be many reasons. Maybe it's in their genes, just like some humans grow faster than others. Or maybe it has to do with the environment where they land as eggs.
Well, like some could have better growing environments than others. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, but this made Chris wonder if it had anything to do with cicadas evolving such long life cycles.
One idea I had a long time ago for extending the life cycle, making it longer and longer, is so that more individuals can catch up.
So the further along cicadas, like, I won't leave here without you. Let's wait underground for 4 more years or so.
That was Chris's idea, because she knows that cicadas are big believers in the idea of safety in numbers.
And so you don't want to just come out every year. You just get picked off by birds.
But if there's a huge, overwhelming amount of cicadas, they have a better chance of laying enough eggs for the brood to continue.
So the bigger the brood, the better the brood. So is Chris's idea right?
Well, Chris and other scientists discovered something that disproved her hypothesis.
What?
They found that the fastest growing 17-year cicadas were coming out 4 years early.
So they all come out together in the 13th year, 4 years early.
Wait, so some 13-year cicadas might actually be 17-year cicadas?
Yeah, it's crazy, but yeah, they're shortening their life cycles by 4 full years.
So that's happening more and more often these days. And we might eventually see the 17-year cicadas permanently switch to 13-year cicadas if these growing seasons just keep getting longer and longer.
Wow, that's crazy. That's a totally unexpected consequence of climate change.
Yeah, just as scientists think climate change during the Ice Age created shorter growing seasons leading to a longer life cycle for cicadas, today's warming climate is creating longer growing seasons, and it might be bringing cicadas out from underground earlier.
Whoa, so we're witnessing evolution in action.
I know. The craziest thing about this to me is, how do the 17-year cicadas coordinate with the 13-year brood?
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure that insects don't have calendars and stuff to keep track of their time. So how does it happen?
It seems like there's these windows in time, and that's the biggest question we don't know the answer to.
Wait, so no one knows how cicadas decide to come out?
That's what Chris is trying to find out. She's studying their DNA, or genetic code, to see if it holds any clues. So this year, lots of scientists will be going out to collect the double cicada emergence.
So what does that look like?
We go out in our van, and for DNA, we need to have them frozen. So we bring a giant cooler of dry ice.
I just love people grabbing insects out of the air and then, like, dropping them into ice. Super dramatic.
They're like, we're here to collect. So the scientists choose all different locations. They hop out of their van and they collect a few cicadas for the dry ice cooler.
And then we take it back to the lab, and then we keep it in ultra-cold freezers at minus 80 degrees centigrade.
That's incredibly ice age cold.
Totally. So cicadas are still holding on to some of their magical mysteries around why they stay underground. But the DNA of cicadas in the generations to come might eventually reveal their secrets.
Hey, have scientists tried decoding their songs? Like maybe they're trying to tell us something with all that loud chirping.
Maybe. For Chris, it's an incredible experience just to hear.
It's really fun, and it's so nice to go out into the forest and hear those songs. They're amazing. It's just amazing how many of them there are.
They're like the biggest band of all time in that they have millions and millions of members. And you can't not go to their
show.
They
don't even need amplifiers, and they just show up. They're like, hey! Is it Chicago? How you doing?
And all of Chicago hears them.
Yeah, and they're just screaming. That's what it sounds like to us. Here's a tongue twister for you. Did you know there's a citizen science situation called Cicada Safari for everyone to cite their cicada sightings?
Well done. Check out whether you live in the area covered by this year's cicada emergence. If you do, you can help scientists learn more about periodical cicadas by downloading the Cicada Safari app and submitting your own observations of when and where you find cicadas.
But if you don't witness a cicada emergence this year, keep your eyes and ears open for the cicadas that come out every spring. Thanks to Chris Simon, senior research scientist at the University of Connecticut in the Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology. And special thanks to Gus and Zachary for their amazing questions.
We have an interview with Chris that's available to Patreon members who pledge at the $1 level or higher at patreon.com/tumblepodcast. You'll learn so much more about the amazing science and history of cicadas.
We'll also have free resources on our website, including maps of the broods and links to download Cicada Safari. That's on the blog at sciencepodcastforkids.com.
Sarah Robertson-Lentz is our editor and designed the episode art. Elliot Hajjaj is our production assistant.
Chad Chennai was our story consultant. And Gary Calhoun-James engineered and mixed this episode. I'm Lindsay Patterson, and I wrote this episode.
And I'm Marshall Escamilla, and I made all of the music and sound design for this episode. Tumble is a production of Tumble Media. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more stories of science discovery. All right, everybody, it's the end of the episode, and we all know what that means. It's time for the birthday shoutouts. Woo, to all the Patreon people. Yay! We got a bunch of them, so here we go. Happy birthday to Alex on April 26th. Mommy, Daddy, and Grayson love you. To Joshua, whose birthday is on April 27th. Mom and Dad love you and hope you keep exploring. To Abigail, happy birthday on April 28th. As Mommy always says, love you, smushin' tushin'. Just funny to say. Connor, happy birthday on April 30th. Keep asking big questions, buddy. Mom and Dad love you so much. Tanisha, happy birthday on May 2nd. Your family is so proud of you and love that you love science, which I do too. Mommy, Daddy, Ading, and Rajita love you so much. To Talise, happy birthday on May 4th. Happy birthday on May 5th to Laya. Keep exploring. Maybe this time you'll find that baby space dinosaur fairy under a mushroom that you've been looking for. To Felix, your parents love you and are so proud of your boundless curiosity. And happy birthday on May 6th. Happy birthday to Maria and Hazel on May 6th. We're so proud of you budding scientists. To Henry, thanks for being our patron for so long and happy birthday on May 9th. We couldn't keep making your podcast without your support. Happy birthday on May 9th to Joaquin. Mom, Dad, and Lola love you very much. Thanks to all of you and to everyone who supports Tumble on Patreon. If you want to get a birthday shout out of your own like these fine folks, simply support Tumble on Patreon at the $5 level or higher by going to patreon.com/tumblepodcast. Once again, that's patreon.com/tumblepodcast. And oh, y'all are still listening? You're still listening? Well, I guess maybe you haven't gotten home from school yet or something. I don't know. Well, anyway, you may or may not know that my birthday is on May 2nd, which is coming up. And since I'm doing the shout-outs and Lindsay doesn't check my work, don't tell her. I thought it might be fun to do a little celebration. I'm going to give away 5 Science of Butts t-shirts from our Tumble store to the first 5 folks who email tumblepodcast@gmail.com with the answer to the question, how many species of periodical cicadas are there, and why do we call them periodical? Once again, email tumblepodcast@gmail.com with the answer to that question. How many species of cicadas are there? How many species of periodical cicadas are there? And why do we call them that? And I will send you a free Science of Butts t-shirt. I also probably wouldn't mind a happy birthday while you're at it. All right, everybody. See you next time for more stories of science discovery.